So you all look very rested. You had an extra hour of sleep. And you are here. And Sarah and I, we are so glad that we are here. We almost didn't come here today. And I'll explain later. Today I want to share with you on the topic of His Master's Voice. Yes, His Master's Voice. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 10, it reads, "There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without significance." So there are all kinds of voices around us. Indeed, it can be a rather noisy world. Here is a little cartoon I cut out many years ago. I don't know the source of it. It's simply entitled, "Picturesque Speechless." And here we have this thing by Tom Wilson. We have this man looking up to the mic, to the speaker, and is blaring away music. And underneath the speaker, there is a big sign. And the sign reads, "Stop the Muzak, 50 cents for 5 minutes. Yeah, sometimes it's difficult to avoid those noises, and you may have to pay dearly to get some quietness. But every day we have voices coming to us. Voices from the media, the radio. When you go to work, do you go quietly or you turn on and catch the news or the break and the music and the news? Or else go home and then you turn on the television because you want to have a break, and then they're blaring to you is more news and stuff. The print media, the newspaper is there, the magazine is there, the books are there. And then you check your mail. And this time of the year, we are getting tons of mail. Some of them are political. We throw those away. Others are advertisement, trying to sell us something. We throw most of those away. And then you have all kinds of appeals from ministries asking for money. We look those over carefully and keep some of them because we can't afford to support every one of them. So we have a very noisy world. And then you have the computer, you have this smartphone, and you have your pads and your tablets, and they are, you look over them, and all kinds of news come to you. Oh, you have to check your email. My goodness, the email. Usually on a regular day, we used to get 40 to 50 emails, and now it's 100 or so. Well, what do? You quickly look, or you don't have all day to read all of that, and so you spend a lot of time checking your email. And talking about emails, my goodness. We have been gone 2.5 weeks out in the Midwest with visiting different states. And about a week and a half ago, we get these emails coming from First Press. Email from John, email from Elizabeth, email from Ty, talking about us giving up our time to teach because they want to schedule in First Press Forward meeting at Pathfinders. And they thought that today will be a good day, or the 17th will be a good day. So I volunteered to give up my time. And then back and forth, am I on, am I off, am I on, am I off? And then finally, in the early part of this week, I got the confirmation. I am on. And though I am here, I got a clip here. It talks about the noise. This says, you may have noticed the increased amount of notices for you to notice. Some of our notices have not been noticed. This is very noticeable. It has been noticed that the response to the notices have been noticeably unnoticed. This notice is to remind you to notice the notices and to respond to the notices, because we do not want our notices to be unnoticed. Get the point? Yes. This is the information age. And we find that there can be this information overload. And therefore, that leads to confusion, that leads to uncertainty, maybe misinformation. And therefore, we are in need of a commanding, clear voice to speak to us. And that voice is the mighty voice of Jesus Christ himself. We need to listen to his master's voice. And as we look at the book of Revelation chapter 1, two verses today, verse 10 and verse 15, they describe for us this master's voice. What does it sound like? In verse 10 it says, it sounds like the voice of a trumpet. Bear that in mind. And in verse 15, it is a sound of many waters. So two basic things I want to share with you. The master's voice sounds like the voice of a trumpet. And secondly, his master's voice sounds like the voice of many waters. So come to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, that Sunday, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Yeah. This great voice simply means a loud voice. So the voice is not whispering, it's not conversational. It's going to be a loud voice. So that when the master speaks, it's not just for private consumption, it is for all to hear. People will all hear the master's voice. And so this voice simply means it's an understandable voice, and most likely refers to some kind of a language. And this voice is as of a trumpet. A trumpet, we didn't have one today. I was hoping somebody would have played some kind of a trumpet to help us sing with the piano. But it's a musical instrument, and trumpets emit clear and distinct sounds. Trumpets are used in those days to communicate clear signals and messages. Like in Numbers chapter 10, verses 1 to 10, during the wilderness wanderings, there were two silver trumpets for the congregation. And it is to sound them the message whether to make camp, break camp, alarm for battle, and also used in the ritual of the Levitical offerings. And then we come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 7 to 10, we read these words. And even things without life giving sound, whether flute or harp, except they gave a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? So we find that the voice of the trumpet indicates a voice that delivers clear messages. An example of this is Winston Churchill. You know, he planned his own funeral service to be held at the St. Paul's Cathedral. And there he instructed that a bugler be perched right up on top by the dome of the cathedral. And the instruction was, at the end of the benediction, the bugler will sound taps. Now the day is ended. And then immediately after that, there is another bugler perched on the opposite side of the dome. And then he will sound reveille. It's time to get up. It's time to get up. It's time to get up in the morning. What was Churchill trying to communicate? That death does not end at all. Life goes on. Get up. It's time to get up. And so we find that this trumpet sound is to indicate that whatever sound is coming out from the speaker is a clear message to the world. So the source of this sound, this voice, is indeed identified in verse 11. This voice says, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. As you all know, Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter in the Greek alphabet. And so what Christ is saying is, I'm at the beginning. When anything began, he was already there. Everything ends, he's already there. And then he is in between. Every other alphabet in the Greek system, Jesus Christ is there. It's like taking a video, okay, of your life. And then we can say that every frame, Jesus is there. Get the impact of this? He is at Alpha and he is the Omega. So indeed we find that this is the voice of Jesus. His eternal transcendence is being declared there. And then John says in verse 12 and 13, I turn to see the voice that spoke with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstand, one like the Son of Man. And whenever you see Christ addressed as the Son of Man, he speaks about his role as the Messiah, the one who comes to save the people of Israel and the people of the world. So we find, you know, the sound of Jesus' voice. Have you ever thought about what that voice of Jesus might sound like? How many of you think that he's a tenor? How many of you think he's a bass? Not soprano. How many of you think gentle Jesus spoke softly? How do you think he spoke 5,000 people out in the wilderness that they can hear him? Yeah. Figure that out. There is no loudspeaker. He's speaking out. He's an open-air preacher. And what does an open-air preacher sound like? I remember the time back in seminary. We had to fulfill our ministry requirements. So I volunteered to go with a group of students, drive up from La Mirada, California, up to Hollywood, and landed ourselves in Hollywood Boulevard. And here among the stars, of all of the stars on the sidewalk of Hollywood Boulevard, we perch ourselves, sing a few songs to attract people, and then one of us will preach. And when you preach, it's open air. You don't whisper. You want them to hear very clearly. And so you shout. You speak loudly. And I can hear Jesus. He had a loud voice. Yes. And people could hear him. So the voice of Jesus, indeed, as he is speaking loudly, giving a clear message. What is the message that Jesus is trying to communicate to us? What is this voice saying? Well, as we read through the Gospels, we see all kinds of teaching and sermons that Jesus delivered. But what was the main message he came to deliver? Yes, we all know the main message that Jesus came to deliver is the gospel. The good news. And what's the content of the good news? It is salvation through his death and through his resurrection. So we find that the voice of Jesus, the clear message we see announced there as Jesus was crucified and he hung on the cross. And so we have the seven last words of Jesus spoken from the cross. The first word, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Second word, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Third word, woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother. Fourth word, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Fifth word, I thirst. Sixth word, it is finished. Seventh word, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. So we find that in these seven last words, in three of them, it says he cried with a loud voice. There is your voice of the trumpet. It's the fourth word. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The seventh word, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And then finally, he cried with a loud voice, and he gave up the spirit. In the sixth word, we notice he says, it is finished. What is finished? The redemptive work that Jesus came to do. That was finished and done. So redemption comes through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. And so we have the voice of Jesus inviting us to personal salvation. And as we heard from the pastor this morning in Revelation 3:20, Christ saying, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man or woman hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him, will sup and be dine with him. And so the hymn by Horatius Bonar, written in 1846, it says, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. So that is the voice of the trumpet. The second description of this voice of Jesus is the voice of many waters. And that we read in verse 15, the second part, John says, and his voice like the sound of many waters. So what's the significance of this sound of many waters? we find that nature has all kinds of sounds. It's the sound of thunder, the sound of lightning, the sound of earthquake, and avalanches, the wind, the storm, the rain, and of course the sound of water. And the Bible talks about quiet waters. In Psalm 23, verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in still, quiet waters. But here, it speaks about a raging tempest, really. Yes, many waters depicts the power and might of a rushing mass of water, which can become quite destructive, but it can also be constructive. The destructive force of water we have witnessed recently in the hurricanes that came across Helene, then Milton in Florida, and the destruction we saw in North Carolina can be very destructive. And then the rain in Spain is supposed to fall in the plain, but then last week, this beginning of the week, it did a big number on Spain. It became a torrential storm, devastating, and many lives lost. But then there is the constructive side of many waters. And the picture here we see is that of a waterfall. And so interpreter Robert Mount says, is it the awe-inspiring power of a great waterfall? And Phillips' translation says, his voice had the sound of a great waterfall. And what picture does that bring to you? A very familiar. Of course, it's the powerful, majestic Niagara Falls. And we happen to be there visiting with my brother in Toronto and made a visit to Niagara Falls and looking at it from the Canadian side. What a majestic view that was. And then we toured the historic hydroelectric power plant there on the Canadian side. The power of many waters that brings constructive energy and results. So we see that this is the voice of Jesus in his awesome power, like many waters, bringing constructive results. But this voice of Jesus is also the voice of God. And we go back to the book of Ezekiel, of all places, chapter 43, and verse 2 reads, "And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like the voice of many waters, and the earth shined in his glory." What is Ezekiel talking about? Well, earlier in chapter 10, because of the sinfulness of the people of Israel, God had to judge them. God had to take them into captivity. God had to have the temple destroyed. And before Nebuchadnezzar's army destroyed the temple, we find that the glory of God departed from the temple. And he gives the imagery of the departure of the Shekinah glory of God leaving the temple of Jerusalem. And now we see in chapter 43, coming back into the eschatological future, the restoration of the nation of Israel and the rebuilding of the millennial temple. He's talking about the return of the Shekinah glory of God and the voice of God making that declaration. And the voice of God is the voice of many waters. Yes, and Jesus is God. His voice is the voice of many waters, a voice of power, a voice of energy, a voice of authority. In his earthly ministry, we find that voice doing some wonderful, miraculous things in the lives of people. Here is this centurion when Jesus Christ was in Capernaum, and he approaches Jesus and pleads for his paralyzed servant. And then he tells Jesus, just say the word. You don't have to come to my house, because I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. I'm a man under authority. I say to this soldier, come, he comes. To that soldier, go, he goes. I say to this servant, do this, and he does. So just say the word. And we find that his servant was healed that same moment. The power of Jesus' voice. And then we have the occasion when Jesus with his disciples were in the boat and they were crossing to go to the other side, and this tremendous tempest developed, and the disciples then were so very afraid, and they approached Jesus, they awake him, and they tell him, Master, save us, because we perish. And then the scripture says, he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men, they marveled. And they said, what manner of man is this? Even the winds and the sea obey him. The voice of Jesus truly was the voice of many waters, literally. Yes. And then power over demons. Again in Capernaum, Jesus went into the synagogue, and there was an outburst of this man who was possessed by this unclean spirit and began to make commotion and trouble. And Jesus took care of the situation. Yes, he rebuked and cast out the demon. And in verse 36 of Luke chapter 4, it said, the people were amazed and they exclaimed, what a word is this? For with authority and power, he commanded the unclean spirits, and they came out. Yes, and finally, you have the death of Lazarus. And Jesus came to visit Mary and Martha in their grief. It says he wept. And after he wept, he went to the grave site. He commanded the people to remove the stone. Lazarus has been dead now for 4 days. He was put in this cave. And Jesus says, remove the stone. And he prayed to the Father. And then with a loud voice, he said, Lazarus, here. Lazarus, come forth. And you know what? Lazarus was raised from the dead. Here is a voice that commands death. And out of death brings victory and resurrection. So do we know this voice? We should. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. My sheep know my voice, and I call them by name, and they follow me. Yes. Do I be listening to the voice of Jesus? His master's voice, listening every moment, and especially in these days, listening how to vote. Please vote. Jesus' command is to vote. And how you vote according to your values based upon the Word of God. And then, of course, Jesus promised any time he will return back again with the shout of the trumpet, the shout of the archangels, the shout of the trump of God. Are we listening for that? Please turn your eyes upon Jesus, as the writer says. Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth so sharp and clear. And while the message sounds in my ear, everything else will disappear. Silently now I wait for you. Ready, my God, your will to do. Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit divine. And so we pray, God, you strengthen our listening power to always hear this wonderful voice, the voice of a trumpet and the voice of many waters, and so guide us. Thank you, God, for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.